The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. Given the cold snap we're in, the ncdhhs.gov has low-income energy assistance, LIEAP. The Low-Income Energy Assistance Program, LIEAP, is a federally funded program that provides for a one-time vendor payment to help eligible households pay their heating bills. Households including a person aged 60 or older, or disabled persons receiving services through the NC Division of Aging and Adult Services, are eligible to sign up for assistance from December 1st through 31st. Well, that expired. All other households may apply from January 1st through March 31st or until funds are exhausted. Households that meet the following criteria may be eligible. Have at least one U.S. citizen or non-citizen who meets the eligibility criteria. Meet an income test. Have reserves at or below $2,250. Resources will not be counted for this year's season from December 1, 2022 to March 31, 2023. So this is old information. Be responsible for heating costs. Eligibility. The following chart describes the low-income energy assistance eligibility requirements. There's a hot link for that based on 130% of federal poverty. And another hot link for CIP/LIEAP questions and answers. How to apply. Households including a person aged 60 or older, or an individual receiving disability benefits and services through the NC Division of Aging and Adult Services are eligible to sign up for assistance from December 1 to 31. All other households may apply from January 1 to March 31 or until funds are exhausted. Contact your local Department of Social Services for the application dates and for additional information on LIEAP. To apply for energy assistance online, please visit ncdhhs-epass. Contacts. For more information, please contact your local Department of Social Services or the NC Division of Social Services. From InVisionMag.com, 10 things eye care patients say that are giant red flags. Hey, remember me? Overheard Optometry, the social media page that highlights funny stories in eye care, started in 2016. Every post was celebrated. The odd ones, the common questions about astigmatism, the not-so-common cringe-worthy ones. Why are we still pouring lemon juice drops in the eye, people? The page went viral and is currently home to a community of 25,000 members on Instagram and Facebook. Imagine my amusement when the red flag memes started trending last month. Red flags usually signal some type of imminent danger. In the case of social media, however, these warning sign emojis are for any exchange with someone that would be a deal breaker. Everyone jumped on board and gave examples of their biggest and smallest pet peeves that warranted the red flag. You don't like pineapple on your pizza? Fight me. You've never had sushi? So let's collaborate, shall we? So these are things that people have said to their eye care people. From Overheard Optometry. I only sleep in my contacts occasionally. I only throw out my contact lenses when they start to hurt. Friday at 4:30 p.m. My eyes started hurting on Monday. High myope, that means very nearsighted. I got these glasses made online. I'm a software engineer at Google and need the best reading and distance vision. Can I try reading the 20 over 10 line? You're the third optometrist I've seen about this. I use my eyes for a living. FYI, I'm running 5 minutes late to my next appointment. I just got progressive lenses and I don't like them. I want to try contacts. From SSA.gov, Disability Determination Processing Time. Social Security Disability Insurance and Supplemental Security Income, disability benefits provide essential income for people with disabilities. We carefully review medical and work history to determine if someone's eligible for disability benefits. There are three major steps in the initial disability claims process. Step one, field office checks to see if the customer meets basic non-medical requirements. Step two, State Disability Determination Services, DDS, checks to see if the customer's medical condition meets the disability requirements. Step three, field office approves or denies the claim and issues the decision letter. The first and third steps occur at our field offices. The second and more detailed step occurs at the state level. Every state operates a DDS office funded by Social Security. Security Stat. The Security Stat process set a strategic goal. Process initial disability claims within approximately 7 months, 215 days, by the end of fiscal year 2025. On average, field offices should take a combined total of 19 days to do two things. First, to check the non-medical requirements, and then after the DDS review to make a decision. DDS should complete its medical review within an average processing time of 180 days. Drive leading actions. Add 400 more disability examiners nationwide. Provide disability examiners with improved technology to gather and review medical evidence. Encourage more customers to use SSA.gov to free up field office staff to help people who need more personalized assistance. Track key performance indicators, KPIs, over time. Disability determination average processing times. 7-year trend from 2018 to 2024. The average processing time in days went from about 115 to 220 between steps 1 and 3. With the humongous backlog issuing after step two. This chart shows the average number of days it's taken to process disability applications over the past 7 years. Other includes the average amount of time per claim spent in other steps within the application process that are not captured in steps 1, 2, and 3, such as quality review or transit time. Average processing times have increased since fiscal year 2020 as our state DDS offices have faced challenges maintaining staff. Average processing times further increased in fiscal year 2024 as we continue focusing on claims from individuals who have waited the longest for a disability decision. Improving the time it takes a customer to receive an initial disability determination is also an agency priority goal. Hot link to view our action plan and quarterly updates at performance.gov. Monthly trend has maintained about the same gap over time from January to December of the last 12 months with absolutely atrocious backlog. This chart shows the average number of days it's taken to process disability applications in each of the most recent 12 months. National and regional average processing times, February 2024 to present. Variable lines of different colors. Cities including New York, Kansas City, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, Seattle, Denver, Dallas, and Atlanta, with another line for national. The backlog is about 233 days. Crazy. This chart shows the monthly average number of days to process disability applications by region and the national monthly average processing time since launching Security Stat. The comparison points in the chart mark the average processing time at the start of the Security Stat process in February 2024 and the most current month. Our Office of Operations is comprised of 10 regions that manage frontline services at SSA offices and support the DDSs. Every region is comprised of multiple states. View our Office of Operations organizational structure hotlink for more information about each region, including the states that fall under their jurisdiction. Field office processing times. Over 25 days for a huge chunk of the country. State DDS processing times. For North Carolina, it's 141 to 180 days. The time it takes to process disability claims varies from state to state due to a variety of circumstances like differences in staffing. This map shows the average number of days for each state to make an initial disability determination so far this fiscal year. Initial claims pending peaked in May and June and have dropped off as of December at 1,109,001. This chart shows the number of initial disability claims pending for each of the most recent 12 months. As of December 2024, we have successfully driven down the number of initial disability claims pending by about 161,000 cases since reaching a peak of almost 1.27 million cases in mid-June 2024. Last updated January 7th, 2025. Since it's a given that pretty much all initial claims are rejected, here is what they have to say about disability benefit decision appeals times. Disability claimants who disagree with the determination made by Social Security and the State Disability Determination Services may request a hearing with an administrative law judge. Social Security typically receives between 20,000 and 40,000 hearing requests monthly. Historically, wait times for a hearing decision could be over a year. We are working to reduce the time it takes for claimants to receive a hearing decision. The Security Stat process set a strategic goal. Conduct disability determination appeal hearings and issue decisions within an end-of-year monthly average processing time of 270 days in fiscal year 2025. Drive leading actions. Promote virtual hearings so we can keep pace with demand and make decisions quickly. Adopt software that speeds up medical reviews. Develop technology to speed up decision writing. Track key performance indicators, KPIs, over time. Hearing decision average wait time, hearings pending. Hearing decision average wait time over the past 7 years dipped in 2021, peaked in 2023, and started going down again in 2024. This chart shows how many days on average our customers waited for a hearing decision from our hearing offices over the last 7 fiscal years. Over the past several fiscal years, Congress appropriated dedicated funding to improve the customer experience for individuals who file a hearing request. In fiscal year 2023, we experienced a temporary increase in the average processing time as we prioritized individuals waiting the longest and those who chose to wait for an in-person hearing rather than accepting a video or telephone hearing when our hearing offices were closed to the public during the pandemic. In fiscal year 2024, on average, customers waited 342 days, that's almost a year, for a hearing decision, which is a decrease of 108 days compared to fiscal year 2023. This chart shows the average hearing processing times at our hearing offices for each of the most recent 12 months, from a height of 363 in January to a low of 280 in October and November, and going up again in December. Current average hearing office time to decision, less than 270 days in the southeastern U.S. So that's good news. This map shows the average processing time of each hearing office so far this fiscal year. In August 2023, the hearing office in Anchorage, Alaska was incorporated into the Seattle, Washington hearing office for data reporting purposes. As a result, Alaska is not displayed separately on the above map. Hearings pending by fiscal year and monthly. From a peak of 858,383 in 2018 to the 2024 stat of 261,574, and monthly for October, November, and December in the mid-200,000s. This chart shows the number of hearing decisions pending by year for the last 7 fiscal years, followed by the months of the current fiscal year. We experienced a backlog of cases in fiscal year 2017 and gradually reduced our pending cases with the support of dedicated funding from Congress. Our hearings pending dropped below 262,000 in September 2024, marking a 30-year low. Last updated on January 7th. From united.mediaroom.com, United helps 20,000 plus customers find right aircraft for their wheelchair with industry first digital sizing tool, October 17, 2024. Launched in March 2024, new digital features better matches aircraft size with wheelchair dimensions and has helped boost overall customer satisfaction scores by nearly 4 points. New collaboration with United Spinal Association expected to further strengthen overall accessibility initiatives at world's largest airline. Dateline Chicago. More than 20,000 customers who travel with wheelchairs have already used United's industry-first digital sizing tool since it launched in March 2024, with feedback from those customers helping contribute to a nearly 4-point improvement in customer satisfaction scores compared with a year earlier. As part of today's announcement and as another way to further improve the travel experience for customers with disabilities, United also began a new collaboration with United Spinal Association to help advise and support the carrier. The early success of our digital sizing tool is an encouraging development in our ongoing efforts to find more ways to improve the travel experience for customers of all abilities, said David Kinzelman, Chief Customer Officer for United. His name is spelled K-I-N-Z-E-L-M-A-N. We look forward to working together with United Spinal to explore even more impactful solutions in the future, collaborating with their community of experts and harnessing their valuable feedback will help us better meet the specific needs of our customers who use wheelchairs. Earlier this year, United launched the new digital tool in its app and united.com, making it easier for customers who use wheelchairs to find flights that can best accommodate the specific dimensions of their personal mobility device. The airline also announced that customers may seek a refund of the fare difference if a customer needs to pay more for a flight that can accommodate their wheelchair. Customers seeking a refund of the fare difference will need to follow United's process. United will promptly ensure they receive the difference in fare after review. I'm thrilled about this collaboration with United Airlines, said Vincenzo Piscopo, P-I-S-C-O-P-O, Chief Executive Officer and President of United Spinal Association. I commend their commitment to making the travel experience more accessible for people with disabilities and their decision to choose United Spinal Association as a partner in this journey. This partnership demonstrates that accessible travel is reality, and every step forward brings us closer to a more inclusive travel experience for the disability community. I hope to see continued improvements not only from United Airlines, but also through the entire travel industry. In addition to the digital sizing tool, United has made several product and policy changes recently to improve the experience for people with disabilities. Providing ramp agents mobile technology that indicates when a wheelchair is on a flight to help ensure they are better prepared to receive and load it. The technology also inhibits ramp agents from closing out a flight until they acknowledge that they've loaded all wheelchairs. In 2023, United was the first U.S. airline to add Braille to aircraft interiors, helping millions of travelers with visual disabilities more easily navigate the cabin independently. United expects to outfit its entire mainline fleet with Braille by the end of 2026. The United mobile app makes it easier to use for people with visual disabilities with increased color contrast, more space between graphics, and reordering how information is displayed and announced to better integrate with the screen reader technologies like VoiceOver and TalkBack. United's in-flight seatback entertainment screens offer a wide range of accessible features such as closed captioning, text-to-speech controls, magnification, explore-by-touch capabilities, audio-described movies, and adjustable and high-contrast text and color correction. As part of United Next, the airline's historic growth plan, the carrier expects to take delivery of about 700 new narrow- and wide-body aircraft by the end of 2032, all of which will include the latest in seatback screen entertainment options. Through Bridge, United's business resource group for people of all abilities, employees help create a workplace environment where all can strive to achieve their maximum potential and support our commitment to being an ally for customers with disabilities. About United. At United, good leads the way. With U.S. hubs in Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Newark, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., United operates the most comprehensive global route network among North American carriers and is now the largest airline in the world. For more about how to join the United team, please visit www.united.com/careers, and more information about the company is at www.united.com. United Airlines Holdings, Inc., the parent company of United Airlines, Inc., is traded on the NASDAQ under the symbol UAL. From loc.gov, News, October to December 2024. Introducing the new NLS Audiobook Players. NLS technology from 1934 to present, and one that stayed on the drawing board. FY24 highlights art that's made to be touched. Introducing the new NLS Audiobook Player, the DA2, by Mark Layman, L-A-Y-M-A-N. Behind a locked, unmarked door on the third floor of the Library of Congress's John Adams Building, National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, staff members are inspecting dozens of early production models of the new NLS Digital Audiobook Player. Each one, chosen at random from the first players to come off the assembly line, is thoroughly examined against a 30-item checklist. From the screws holding the case together to the labels on the keypad buttons to the functionality of the player's features. This spring, these players, model number DA2, will start making their way into the hands of NLS patrons across the country, replacing the first generation of digital audiobook players that NLS unveiled in 2009. The DA2 is the culmination of many years' work, exploring different concepts, securing funding and finding a production partner, designing and testing prototypes, and getting feedback from patrons and librarians, NLS Director Jason Broughton says, B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. It is exciting to finally begin mass production and distribution. I know our patrons will be delighted with the new features that make it easier than ever before to enjoy NLS audiobooks. Among those new features are Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity and 28 GB of internal storage. That means DA2 users can connect to Bard, the NLS Braille and audio reading download site, and download audiobooks and magazines, store them on the player, and listen to them over Bluetooth-enabled speakers or headphones. A typical NLS audiobook is 120 megabytes, so the DA2 is a portable library able to hold 200 or more titles. Like the current NLS audiobook player, the DA2 also has a built-in speaker and a port for playing digital audiobook cartridges. The current players, however, have no Wi-Fi or Bluetooth connectivity or internal storage. NLS has ordered about 21,000 DA2s from HumanWare, a Canadian company that produces products for people who are blind or visually impaired. The company has a distribution and repair center in Stuart, Florida. HumanWare also makes one of the two models of refreshable Braille displays, or Braille e-readers, that NLS now offers to patrons. NLS provides audio players and e-readers to its patrons on loan free of charge for as long as they are in the program. The DA2 shares some similarities with a commercial multimedia player produced by HumanWare, the Victor Reader Stratus 12M. That retails $495. Introduction of the DA2 is the latest milestone on a road that NLS has been on since the late 1990s, when it began to consider options for moving away from the analog cassette machines the program had used since the 1970s. The upgrade to digital versions of not only the playback machines, but also the vast collection, is the greatest challenge NLS has ever faced, longtime NLS director Frank Kurt Cylke, C-Y-L-K-E, said at the time. Before that effort could get off the ground, it was necessary to develop a technical standard for digital audiobooks and players for blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print-disabled readers. Patrons, consumer organizations, media producers, rights owners, equipment producers, and librarians weighed in on issues of audio quality, media compatibility, copyright protection, and affordability. The National Information Standards Organization adopted the standard in 2002, and with periodic updates, it is still used today. Another crucial question was what medium NLS should use for its digital audiobooks. Unlike similar organizations in Canada and other countries, NLS decided to bypass CDs, which, among other concerns, required players with delicate parts that were susceptible to damage, and jumped to recording books on flash memory cartridges. From 2008 until 2013, NLS produced more than 535,000 standard and advanced models of its first digital audiobook player. More than 388,000 remain in circulation. Congress has appropriated $5.473 million annually for NLS to produce and procure DA2s and additional Braille e-readers as needed. NLS has been quite fortunate with its congressional appropriations over the past few years to support critical initiatives, NLS Deputy Director Jason Yasner, Y-A-S-N-E-R, says. Without his support, NLS would never have been able to modernize BARD and its infrastructure, along with producing patron-focused devices such as the DA2 and the Braille e-reader. Our patrons are truly the ones who benefit as we continually improve our products and services. Exactly how many DA2s will ultimately be produced will be determined by demand. Unlike when the first audiobook player was rolled out, many patrons now enjoy NLS audiobooks exclusively on PCs using BARD Express, new built-in player, or on personal smartphones and tablets using the BARD mobile apps. And some patrons undoubtedly will want to keep their old digital audiobook players, which, as expected, have held up well over the years. Still, patrons who field-tested the DA2 prototype last year and whose feedback led to several improvements to the keypad and internal memory found much to like. The battery life is very impressive, one said. This is such a great device. It sounds better than the older digital players, and I can't believe how light it is, one another said. I love it. There is a comparison image of the two different keyboards with much the same assignments, except now that they are labeled, and they are labeled in Braille. So that's one major difference that I can see right away. Comments from patrons who participated in a 2023 field test of a DA2 prototype led to design improvements, including the addition of print and Braille labels and tactile markings and high contrast colors on select keys. NLS Technology from 1934 to Present by Claire Roystasser. R-O-J-S-T-A-C-Z-E-R. 1934, Library of Congress purchases its first talking books produced on 12-inch phonographic discs by the American Foundation for the Blind. The talking books were recorded at 33 and a third RPM, less than half the speed of the 78 RPM commercial records of the time. That allowed for about 15 minutes of recorded content on each side and began a trend of NLS using slower speeds to more efficiently serve patrons. It was another two decades before the 33 and a third RPM LP became the standard format in the commercial market. 1957, the Model D player goes into production. The Model D talking book player had dual motors to accommodate both 33 and a third RPM discs and the 16 and two-thirds RPM discs NLS was developing. A subsequent model, the AE1, had a three-speed motor that also accommodated 8 1/3 RPM discs. 1969, circulation of books on cassette begins. The earliest NLS cassette tapes played at 1 7/8 inches per second and were recorded on two tracks. By 1973, NLS had begun experimenting with four-track cassettes played at the slower speed of 15 to 16 IPS. I am out of time, but boy, this is fascinating. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, and print disabilities. To learn more about our services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-5138.